It's Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving for all of you. But this morning, I'm not going to talk about faithfulness of God giving us things. I want to thank God. I want to give Him thanksgiving for what He did for us. I want to say thank to the Lord for what we are now, our position in Him. I want to glorify the Lord for what He created me to be. I want to say thank God. So this morning I say, oh, Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, because you have given to me the right to be called child of God. That's why we are celebrating. That's why we can open our mouth and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is important. Because religion or even when we know the word, sometimes we are so focused in saying thank to the Lord because or when we get something. We learned to connect. Receiving something, then I say thank you. If you give me something, I'll say thank you. We learn like that. So the Christians, we become Christians, we give our life to Jesus Christ, and then we still doing like that. So when Lord, thank you, I'm asking you for this, for that, for that, da, 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 because the petition prayer, this kind of prayer is the one that we most do every day. Asking the Lord for things. And then when we receive, when the blessing comes, and then you say, oh, thank you, Lord. But we cannot connect it, our grateful heart. We cannot connect thanksgiving with receiving things. Let me explain better. So I'm happy when I get something from the Lord. When I'm facing trouble, I'm not happy anymore. See, easier to understand. So I'm connecting the joy in my life. I'm connecting my life with, you know, if I receive, okay. If somebody loves me, I'll love the person. If somebody gives me something, I'll be happy. If God gives me or answer my prayer, yes, I will celebrate. I'll go to church. It's Thanksgiving, so I'll say thank to the Lord. But we cannot connect our lives with things because sometimes we are not, you know, facing troubles in our lives. But you have to wake up every morning and speak words that glorifies the name of the Lord. Words that give the Lord thanksgiving. Say, oh Lord, thank you so much for the day you have created for me. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you, Lord, for everything because you are my Lord. You are my Savior. I have salvation. I have this. So enjoy the presence of the Lord. So don't connect. So if you see people like in Africa talking with Ida, I've been in South Africa in 2012, that's right. I was there and I saw, yes, rich people glorifying the Lord, saying, thank you, Lord. But I saw so many poor people there with so much love for the Lord. Because in my eyes, they were poor. At least they look like, or not, no shoes, or no nothing. But in the eyes of God, they are not poor anymore. They are rich. They have Jesus Christ in their lives. So they are celebrating. When you see people like, no, they don't have anything. Even in Brazil, even everywhere. So you see people that they don't have anything. They still glorify the Lord. So what's going on? That's so important to me when I see things like that. Because they are not connecting their love for God with the things they have. But why they are glorifying the Lord and give thanksgiving to the Lord if they don't have anything? Because they have everything. They are seeking the Lord first. The Lord is adding things to their lives. Maybe they still have no car. They still have no shoes. But they have salvation. They have healing. They have protection. They have provision. They are eating every day. So they didn't have rice. Now they have rice. And for them, it's the reason to glorify the Lord. And they know the Lord is going to do much more. You know, church, I've learned that not everybody, not every Christian will be rich, natural, like, rich concerning having things. But we are rich because we have Jesus Christ in our lives. Do you understand that? I would like to have no better words to explain. But the Holy Spirit will touch your heart. So some people, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll never have the car I want to have. Maybe I'll never have an airplane. Oh, see, Pastor, maybe you are not blessed. No, as I am. Somebody needs their plane. I don't need airplane. Should I need airplane to go to my home? No, not now. But maybe in the future, traveling like those big guys and then traveling around, it's not a sin. It's not a problem. If their heart is like in God, doing what is right to do. So not everybody. I know Christians, they live in a poor neighborhood in Brazil. But you know, when you talk to them, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They love the Lord. They don't want to stop praising and worshiping the Lord. How? Because they trust in the Lord. And they are getting better and better. So don't measure your joy with the what thing you have, what you have, what you don't have, naturally speaking, whatever. Measure your joy with your connection and relationship with the Lord. That's awesome. I'm happy. Doesn't matter the circumstances. Then we'll learn to be happy any circumstance of our lives. Paul learned, I have plenty when I don't have anything. I still rejoice in the Lord because I know who I'm serving. I know. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. We'll come. Some way we'll come. Amen. I want to read, I want to talk a little bit about the Old Covenant. And in Exodus, I think Leo has most of the scriptures. You don't have to. I'm going to read really fast. Just mention if you want to write down the verse, the chapter and verse. In Exodus 25, verse 8 says, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." So the Lord is asking Moses to build the ark. And to put the ark, the next one is Exodus 40. To put the ark, set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. On the first day of the first month, place the ark of the covenant law in it and shield the ark with the curtain. So I'm reading this because, you know, called my attention when the Lord says, no, I will dwell among you. But at that time, He wasn't dwelling inside of them. And that at that time, they were connected with their vision, visual things. They could see the Ark of the Covenant. And that Ark of Covenant was representing God, His power, His blessings. Remember when God said, no, just raise a post so everybody that got bite by the serpent, they see. So visual things. They had visual things. But the situation was only the one person could get there in the holy place once a year with the blood of animals to be able to cover the sins of people. Once a year. And he wasn't talking about forgiveness once for all. He was talking about year after year. Exodus 40, 34 and 35 says, it's talking about the glory of the Lord, and says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. We have scriptures talking about God asking Moses, don't let Aaron go inside because of my glory. He's going to die. Hebrews 9, 7 says, but, we have there, Leo? But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. So it was, I was talking about it. So it was one a year. One person. I was thinking about, so the whole, everybody, the people were expecting for one person to be holy enough to be able to get into the holy place and shed the blood of the animals to cover the sins. They were expecting. But they always could see God and His power, His blessings, because whatever the ark was, the blessing was there. And it's kind of a shadow. It's kind of showing us the future. One story, you know that story, when the David took the ark and was bringing back to Israel, to his home. And you know, somebody touched the ark and died because the power, irreverence, whatever, the power of God. And he left the ark in Obed-Edom. Is that right? Obed-Edom. And I have this scripture here in 2 Samuel, Samuel 6, 11. Okay, I'll get there, okay, in the New Testament. 2 Samuel 6, 11 says, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. I'll keep reading. Now King David was told, the Lord was blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull or a fattened calf, wearing a line, ephod, whatever. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts of the sound of trumpets. I love this scripture. So because the Lord was among them, because the Lord was in that ark, because the Lord was in Obed-Edom's house, so the blessings of the Lord were there. Because whatever the Lord is, there's blessings. There is blessings. But one thing caught my attention is this, because he was there. He was performing miracles. He was protecting the people. He was leading leaders. But he was there in the tent. And that people, like David and the people of Israel, were making sacrifices of praise. They were killing animals every 6 step. They were celebrating the presence of God. They were shouting and rejoicing and singing and praising and dancing. And they were celebrating God. They were giving Him thanksgiving. And the Lord wasn't inside of them. And that's the made a huge difference. Because the Lord dwells inside of us now. And you know that. So if those people, that generation could do that, it's time for us to open our eyes and our hearts and believe that, you know, this is the way we should do. Because God is not only among us, God is in us now. And if they could praise and worship the Lord in that situation, that's inferior, like less than we are living now. We have a better covenant with the Lord now. So the church should be like, should walk like that. And he's encouraging me. That's why I say, when I go in his presence, when I spend time with the Lord, that has to be a quality of time. Can you imagine the sacrifice they were doing, stopping every six steps and killing animals and then glorifying the Lord and then praising him? You know? Can you imagine now? Oh, 6 minutes. Come on, worship. Come, let's praise and worship the Lord. Then, okay, let's keep reading. Oh, 6 minutes. Come on, go. Let's go. Let's praise and worship the Lord. So, can you imagine? We couldn't stop. We couldn't stop. Can you imagine the atmosphere of this place? Because, you know, when you start praying, your body doesn't want. Your mind is distracted with many things. But after a while, you don't want to stop anymore. You want to keep there. You cry. You dance. You jump. You run. Because of his presence, church. So, it's really important. The presence of the Lord was among them, but not in them. But that was a huge thing for them. They could see the presence. They could see the blessings. They were there. They were visual thing, but they were enjoying the presence of the Lord. They were. There's one prayer. Actually, my Bible says David's song of thanksgiving. And this is so beautiful. You know, I don't know how many times I read this song of prayer of thanksgiving. I don't know. Because I've read so many times this story about the ark, about Obed-Edom and, you know, David, everything. I want to read for you. 1 Chronicles 16, 7 to 12. 1 Chronicles. See, we have there. Look this. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. This is wonderful. Somebody was singing a song of thanksgiving to the Lord, even not having the Holy Spirit inside of him. But because of the presence of the Lord in that ark, among them, they were doing like that, dancing, rejoicing. So church, this is just encouragement. This is Thanksgiving Day, so encouragement to you to have a song of thanksgiving in your mouth. Even if you have to start reading this scripture, 1 Chronicles 16, 7 to 12. You can keep reading. He's talking more about his praising the Lord. Let's learn how to do it. I don't know how to pray. You want to pray for Iran? You gave a awesome, powerful prayer. I'm reading. So let me see what she has in her heart. I don't know how to pray for Iran. I pray in spirit. But now I have someone that got from the Lord something that really important and what we should pray. And this is the same. Hey, Pastor, it's hard to me, you know, all the time. Hey, start your day praising and worshiping the Lord. We have cell phones. All of us. Record this and wake up, listen yourself. But you know, we have reasons to praise and worship the Lord. We have reasons in our lives every day to give thanksgiving to the Lord. And one just parenthesis, but just one thing I want to mention. Hallelujah. I don't know if I have here. Yes, I do. In 2 Samuel, I'm just keep reading 2 Samuel 6. Now the verse 20, 21 is very important. I feel in my heart mentioning this. I have here, but I said, I don't know. But the Holy Spirit is telling me to read this. When David returned home to bless his household. How do you say? Michal? I practiced, but I forgot. Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." Sometimes, because of religion, sometimes because of our background, sometimes, so when we start facing that, we start rejoicing that position of praising and worshiping the Lord every day, rejoicing, dancing, singing. The Bible says to be filled in spirit, to know to sing songs, spiritual songs, give Him thanksgiving. When you ask something to the Lord, now you have to believe He's hearing us. So ask Him and give Him thanksgiving. We can read like Philippians 4 later, you know. But sometimes we are moving forward. We want to experience more from the Lord. And we have somebody that comes and say, "Are you distinguished himself today? You distinguished," or "you have a reputation." I don't know if it works here, but in Brazil, you should lose your reputation. Like Paul, "I am the better than everyone. I pray more than everybody. I do this. I was Hebrews of Hebrews." Great reputation. And then now, he said, that's not important anymore. David was the king. And some people are thinking, I'm the pastor, or I am I don't know, I have a position, I have a degree, I have this, I have that, my wife is not saved, my husband is not saved, my children doesn't like when I praise and worship the Lord. Of course you have your private time, but you know, we cannot just stay in our rooms. We go around and we talk and we celebrate Jesus, we talk about Jesus. So don't worry when somebody comes to you and says, "Oh, stop. So are you doing this? Why you were dancing?" You should come once in a while on Sunday night. And if you see people, you'll see people losing reputation here. Like, no. Some people are so serious. On Sunday night, they are laughing, they're talking, they are drunk. You know? Raise your hand. Praise and worship the Lord. I'm not going to do on streets because, you know, now I'm walking around and praying. I don't care what people think. That's the point. David answered to her, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord." Don't let anybody stop you celebrating the Lord. Don't allow anybody saying, "No, you know, how can you celebrate? You don't have this, you don't have that." You say, "I will keep celebrating because I have Jesus Christ in my life. So I have everything I need." Oh no, hey, stop listening to this, stop and say that, stop praying out loud, stop raising your hands, stop shouting the Lord. Stop. No. But before, I can tell my kids, before, they don't say that, before you were born, Lord called me. He chose me to be a worshiper, to worship Him, to praise Him, to adore Him, to glorify Him. Don't let anybody stop you doing things. This is a great, great example in my life. So, you know, sometimes we are shy. We don't know, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I don't know. I was embarrassed, like praying in English in front of people. Woo, many times. But now I don't care. I was talking to Jeff before the service. You know, I'm praying by myself, I pray in English. I'm practicing praying in English. But when I don't know the word, I speak in Portuguese. When I don't know the word, I said, "Lord, you know. You know what I'm talking about." But I won't stop. Don't be ashamed. Don't get embarrassed, because we are carrying something really important. We're not carrying an ark that we can show. So, you know, hey, come here. Look, that ark. God is there. God is there. There's power there. No, we are carrying the ark. We are carrying the power of God. We are carrying God inside of us. So they won't see an ark. They will see us. So if we are quiet, if you are ashamed of praising and worshiping the Lord because the wife said, no, how can you do that? You are the king. Oh, come on. Before I become a king, before I'm a king, I was chosen by the Lord. And it's so beautiful, so beautiful. I love this. Like, no, why you're doing it? And he came to her, was beautiful. Shh, shut up. Before you, your father, God chose me. He called me. I don't care what you think. I don't care you think I should be quiet because I'm the king. I will celebrate before the Lord. That's the position of the Christians today. Because celebrating God, because we give thanksgiving to the Lord, doesn't matter the circumstances we are facing, they will see God. I said, whoa, how that can happen? Because I'm carrying Him inside of us, inside of me. So that's really, really important. Sing a song of thanksgiving. What's the song of thanksgiving you have in your mouth? Maybe you can start singing this one, but you should have something inside of you. Maybe the name of this message is, how is the song of thanksgiving you have? What's the song of thanksgiving you have in you? Oh, whatever you name it, please. But we have a song of thanksgiving inside of us. We have. He's bringing us to that position that we don't care about anything else. His presence is priority in our lives. To be in His presence, to spend time with Him. Oh, the situation doesn't allow you to do that. Oh, the person doesn't allow you to do that. Your job doesn't allow you to do that. Your church doesn't allow you to do that. Your pastor doesn't allow you to do that. So, you know, he said, no, I'm in the position now that I will celebrate before my Lord. You know, you were led by the Spirit. Of course, you're not going to work and start singing out loud and or go to school and sing and talk. Of course not. But you have to express the joy of the Lord. You have to speak words of life when you open your mouth. That's the right thing to do because we won't stop celebrating Him in our lives. So why? Hebrews 8:1 says that the high priest, talking about the high priest, Jesus Christ, He is the one. Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now the main point of what we are saying is this. My English. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary. The true tabernacle set up by the Lord. Not by a mere human being. He was asking Moses to do the right way. You should do like this, Moses. No, details. Because he was showing, he was appointing Jesus Christ. And what is the in heaven? So how important was to Moses to follow the right instructions? So if you jump to verse 6, it says, but in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs. As the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one. Since the new covenant is established on better promises. If you jump to 12, it says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete? And outdated will soon disappear. Hebrews 9:11 says, but when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, to obtaining eternal redemption. That's why Revelation says he has made us priests and kings. Kings and priests. Because of this, because of Jesus Christ, because he is the high priest, he is the one entering in that place, the high place. He entered once for all. He gave his blood. It's not animals. He's not just covering our sins. He forgave us once for all. Now, if you keep reading, we have, he's our mediator. Hebrews 10 talks about our position now. Jesus paid the price. We don't need to ask anybody. Don't ask your pastor to go in the presence of the Lord and bring the message to you. I can do it. I believe I'm delivering the message to you from the Lord. But you can go in that position. You can enter in the holy place. You can be there before the Lord with holy hands. Raise your hands. Stand, bow down before the Lord. We have permission to do that because of Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He's the mediator. Actually, we have permission if we are in Christ. Of course. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, now he's talking to us, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Oof. Brothers and sisters, we can have confidence to be in his presence. So now this morning, if you think, what I should be grateful, what I should give thanksgiving to the Lord, because I don't have this, I don't have that. So you're going to leave this place saying, no, now I know. God is not in a box anymore. He never been in a box. It was just, no. I don't need anybody else to go there and be with him to bring message to me. Because Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, he paid the price for us. He died for us. He washed us. He washed our sins away with pure water. Now he's telling us, brothers and sisters, you can go with confidence before him. Oh, I did something wrong. Oh, my wife doesn't want me to praise and worship the Lord. So, you know, forget that. God called you to rejoice in his presence. So he has given us permission because of the blood of Jesus, because of forgiveness of sin, because he has redeemed us. So we have permission to be in his presence, church. That's why we say thanksgiving to the Lord. We have a song of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, I can be in your presence. I can stand before you. I can raise my hands. I can bow down on my knees. There's no condemnation anymore. There's no flaw, blameless, because I have the blood of Jesus on me. I am in Christ. So now God is not somewhere. God is in us. And because he is in us, this relationship was restored. It is possible. So don't let anybody talk against it. Don't let anybody stop you praising and worshiping the Lord. Don't let anybody, don't let don't set your mind on things of this earth. Because it's quickly gone. Set your mind in things is above. We have so many things. I was just thinking about few things. If the presence of the Lord was among them, now the presence of the Lord is in us. They couldn't stand before the Lord. Not everybody could stand before the Lord. before the ark. But now we can stand before him without any condemnation. The Holy Spirit used to come upon kings, priests, and prophets. Now the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Only pastors? No, on us. All of us. He put us in the same position. Different offices, different jobs we have to do, different, you know, calling. Thank you. Different callings. But we are all the same. You know, slaves. Slaves? Slaves are usually poor people. But God put slaves, servants, masters. He put everyone in the same level, same position. Because the slave, he has the same anointing that you have. I'm the president of my company. I was this, I was that, my degree, my position, we are in the same level. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling inside of us now. So it doesn't matter what you have in your hands, whatever is your position in your job, whatever is your position in your church, your calling, your church, whatever, we have the same spirit, the same power. That's why I saw millionaire people, rich people crying when somebody really poor came with the anointing and laid hands and said, you know, I want to pray and start preaching and start teaching and start delivering a message from the Lord. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's much more. He has forgiven us. He has given us eternal life, salvation. He has healed us. He has whatever. I think we should finish the service singing a song of thanksgiving. But not that song that David was singing. Songs that will come out of our spirit. Do you have at least one reason to praise and worship the Lord? Do you have one reason to give thanksgiving to the Lord? We have one reason called Jesus Christ, the Lord. That's the reason. Nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. Nothing. Jesus Christ. We need Him. We have Him. So let's take advantage of that. Today's Thanksgiving. So let's open our mouth and say, yes, I will sing a song of thanksgiving. Because I have so many things to tell the Lord. I have so many things. Do you have things to tell the Lord? He's calling us back to the first love. I was sharing something in last week. You know, read Revelation 2, the first 5 or 6 verses. He's telling how good that church was, Ephesus. How good they were. They were doing a great job. They were doing good things with their callings. They were protecting the church against false teaching. They were doing this. They were doing that. Strong church, motivated to do things. But if you keep reading, he says, but I have something against you. It's not only me, church, because not me. It's the Holy Spirit through me. The Holy Spirit is telling his church now. It's time for us to come back to the first love, because that's the position we will receive things from him. That's the position that we'll love to be in his presence. When you love someone, when Alex is in Brazil, he left everything behind. His job, his business, new business, everything. He didn't give up, of course, but he left everything behind for 3 weeks just to be with the woman he loves. How much effort? He spent a lot of money, time, just to be with her. Can you imagine with the Lord? When you come back to the first love, that you say, there is nothing more important in my life than to be with you, Lord. We are singing this morning, there's nothing more important than to be in your presence, Lord. He's calling his church back to that position. He's calling us back, church. He's calling all of us. If you hear people around the world, he's calling us back to the position that the first love position. Let's say like that. That position that we have pleasure to be in his presence. that you spend time in His presence. Doesn't matter what people said. Doesn't matter if somebody tried to offend me. That lady was offending, trying to David could be offended and stop praising and worshiping the Lord. He didn't, because he knew who God was for him. Keep that in your heart. Don't receive from Pastor Dells. Receive from the Holy Spirit. He's bringing His church back to that position that we'll see Him and that we relate Him like we know when we relate in the first love. The first love, when you met Jesus Christ. When you met Jesus Christ, you didn't care about your position. You didn't care if you were a pastor or if you were. You didn't know about Collins Fivefold Ministry. You didn't know about anything. You didn't know the word. The next day you just said that. So, no, I don't know what's happening, but I'm rejoicing today. I have peace today. Sounds of thanksgiving. I can open my mouth and say, I have peace now, Lord. I was wondering about everything. And the Bible, I've learned through the Holy Spirit that I don't have to worry about anything. So it's the opposite. I have joy. I have peace. You know, church, we still have communion. Let's do communion. Let's do communion. Let's do communion. Jesus Christ died for us. Can I call the usher? Let's do communion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And then after communion, I would ask the worship team to come and sing a song. Maybe I'll love to be in your presence. I don't know the name of the song. Hallelujah. Let's have communion. I picked this scripture. I usually, you know, 1 Corinthians 11, we read that God, you know, the day He was betrayed. He's telling us to do this. Let's do this in remembrance of Him. His body, His blood. But today, I want to read something that give you more reasons and giving you something else to finish this service with a song of thanksgiving in your heart. And I'm going to read Isaiah 53, 4 to 7, because this is what He did for us. When I read this scripture, it's so important. Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we consider Him punished by God, striken by Him, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. Verse 6 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shepherds is silent, so He did not open His mouth. Until here. This scripture is so powerful to me. Yeah, you can play. It's so powerful to me. Because when it starts saying He took our pain, our suffering, when it talks about our transgressions, our sins, our sickness, our disease. So we made mistakes. He paid the price when we didn't deserve. It's so powerful. If just with this scripture, we could leave this place with song of thanksgiving, saying, thank you, Lord, you took my pain away, my sufferings, my sickness and disease, because it's not mine anymore. You took it. It's not mine. Don't say, oh, my sickness, man. Don't say that. It's not yours. Jesus Christ took it. And I love. And I love because, you know, when I read, he was oppressed and afflicted. He did that in my way. I supposed to be oppressed and afflicted. So don't let the enemy put oppression upon you, because Jesus Christ is saying he paid the price. No oppression. Don't be afflicted. Don't worry about anything. Sing songs of thanksgiving. He paid the price and he was quiet. He didn't open his mouth. Church, it's time for the Church of Christ. Stop speaking death, or stop speaking what the enemy wants us to speak. I don't have. I have this. I have that. I have sickness. I have disease. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm suffering. I'm oppressed. I'm this. I'm that. Stop saying that. Jesus Christ was quiet. He was suffering quiet. We don't have to suffer with things like that anymore. No, no, no. The only suffering we should have is suffering because of the gospel. Paying the price. Paying the price. Suffering persecution because of the gospel. We should be suffering with people that comes against us and say, stop doing this. Like that, David's wife, Michal. Stop doing this. Why do you think she was saying that? She didn't have the revelation. And I believe she was under the influence of the enemy. Stop, David, rejoicing in the presence of the Lord because you were the king. But because the king was rejoicing and dancing and celebrating, all of them were doing the same. All of them. So if you think, oh, I'm the leader of this church. No, if I'm the leader of this church, please, I want you to see me praise and worship in the Lord every day. If you don't see me speaking the word or complaining, just correct me, please. Correct me, please. I want to speak the word. I want to live the word. I want to be an example. That's why I'm seeking the Lord. That's why I love the Lord. That's because it's teaching me every day. I'm not perfect. You are not perfect. Don't worry. But He is. And He is dwelling inside of us. Amen. So can you please stand on your feet. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for everything you did on that cross. We didn't deserve, Lord. We were sinners. And you know, we couldn't find any sin on you, Lord Jesus. But because of your love, because God loved so much the world, He sent you, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for us. And He took everything on you, our pain, our sickness and disease, all the sins. You have made us righteousness of God in you, Jesus Christ. This morning we are... I know we all have a song of thanksgiving in our hearts. And this morning we are doing this, having communion in remembrance of you and what you did for us. We recognize the work of the cross. We recognize you as our high priest. And we recognize through your blood, we have been redeemed. And we recognize, Lord, that we can stand before you with great boldness. Great boldness, without any fault or condemnation. We thank you, Jesus Christ. We do have a song of thanksgiving in our lips, in our hearts. We're going to celebrate you through the communion, Lord Jesus. I bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you do something? I serve you. Yeah. I serve you. Love you, my brother. come with me. Let's serve together. I did this before. I worked as usher for a long time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a pleasure to serve you. I'm serving you. You're serving us every week. I'm serving you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You've called us, Lord Jesus, not to be served, but to serve. And we serve you, Lord, with all our hearts. We want to serve you, Lord, by delivering the elements of the communion. But Lord, we want to serve you, Lord, every day, speaking your word, ministering people, laying our hands, preaching the gospel, which is the power of salvation. We want to serve you, Lord. Use us the way you want. And Jesus Christ, this morning, we say thanks to you. We definitely have a song of thanksgiving in our hearts for everything that you did in our lives and you are doing in our lives, for things that you will do in our life that we have no idea, and we will understand, we will get everything when this Holy Spirit reveals to us. But this morning I just want to say thank you for bringing us back as a church of Christ, in a position that we have pleasure, we have joy, we have peace, we have confidence, we have boldness to stand before you, Lord. I say thank you so much, Lord. Hey, church, if you have a song of thanksgiving, please tell the Lord. Tell the Lord why you were so grateful. Tell the Lord your own words. Tell the Lord whatever you have in your heart. He deserves to hear from you. He deserves. He's always there. Thank you, Lord. You are always there. You are always there. When I ask you, when I pray, but even when I get distracted with something, you are still there with open arms, open ears to hear me. You are so faithful, Lord. You are so wonderful, Lord. Doesn't matter if I still make mistakes. You're still there to forgive me. I have songs of thanksgiving, Lord. Because of what you did in my life. You brought back my relationship with God. Through you, I have the permission to be in your presence. I don't need anybody else. I just need you. I just need Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. and I just need the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, this morning. I thank you, Lord, tomorrow. I thank you, Lord, every day. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the peace that the world cannot give me, can give us. Thank you for the peace. Thank you, Lord, because we can sleep in the middle of the storm like Jesus did. Thank you, Lord, because we have all the provision we need, like Jesus had when he was on this earth. And I don't need to worry about anything. I just need to seek you first. This is my song of thanksgiving, Lord. I hope this song sounds like a grateful heart. A grateful heart. Thank you, Jesus. Let's have the cracker, which means the body of Christ that he gave to us. He took all, everything, the pain, the suffering, the sickness, the disease. I declare the Church of Christ, I declare to the Church of Christ, we are healed in Jesus' name. We are healed in Jesus' name. When you're eating this, bringing Jesus Christ in your remembrance, just bring that he already healed you. Don't accept. Declare with your mouth, you are healed in Jesus' name. Let's have the juice that represents him. Represents that our redemption in him. He forgave us and he gave us salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I love to be in your presence. And I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Não quer tentar inglês? Mas o que? Tá. Patricia wants to share something or say something, but she's going to say in português. I don't think she doesn't.
Eu vou falar em português porque eu sei que tem pessoas aqui que vão precisar ouvir em português.
She's going to speak in Portuguese because she knows that people here need to hear in Portuguese. And you need to hear in English, okay?
Quando o pastor foi servir a ceia,
when the pastor was serving the elements of the communion,
ele estava servindo ao Senhor.
He was serving the Lord.
E ele não pegou para ele o copo e o cracker.
And I forgot to take one cracker and one cup.
E ele continuou servindo e não pensou nele.
I was serving, but I didn't think about myself.
Quando ele veio aqui à frente, eu pensei, eu vou dar o meu copo e o meu cracker para ele.
When I was standing here, she thought about giving her cracker and the cup to me.
Mas Deus é tão perfeito que Deus falou assim, fica tranquila.
God is so perfect that he spoke into her heart to don't worry, don't worry.
Então o Ali trouxe para ele a bandeja com todos os copos e todos os crackers.
Then Ali brought the tray with all the cups and the crackers.
Mais do que o suficiente que ele precisava.
More than I needed.
É um pequeno exemplo, mas é para você ver como que é o resultado de servir ao Senhor.
It's just a little example, little thing, just an example of how to serve the Lord.
Quando a gente serve ao Senhor, ele nos dá mais do que abundante.
When we serve the Lord, he gives us more than abundant. Amen. Amen. I can tell you, church, he's giving us more than abundant. And I just want to keep the heart, a servant heart, because he called us to be servants. Amen. I love the Lord. Let's praise the and worship the Lord. Where's the guitar man? And finish the service. We're going to have fellowship. Thank you for all of you that brought food for us to celebrate Thanksgiving together. And for every week, you are bringing things. It's so important to have fellowship with the Lord. It's so important to have fellowship after service. Thank you for helping with the food. Thank you for helping with the cleaning. Thank you for helping serving. Amen. We have a servant's heart. I love you guys.